scriptures. Okay, ain't got no scriptures. Let us pray and get started. Father, we thank you and we praise you, give you the glory, Lord God. Father God, we thank you that you open our eyes, that we see, our ears, that we hear. You give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Last week we were starting in the on the section that says honor is the heart. Well, I don't have an opening scripture tonight, so we're going to jump right into our pointers here. And I think the last thing I said when I left the class last week was I give you a pointer here that God anoints a person, and his spirit in the rest of the team creates a corporate witness that acknowledges God's anointing and receives the person in his or her role. And I took you to a scripture over in Numbers 11 and 63, where Moses had, God had called some servants. Moses had called servants to help him carry out his duties, and how God took his spirit off of Moses, Moses' spirit, and put on those 70 elders so they could help him carry out his duty. Only acts of honors, such as what we're talking about, the fivefold ministry gifts, honors, only acts of honor such as these can establish and sustain these relationships. So the relationship between the apostle and the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, and the pastor, if the only way that those relationships are sustained is if there's honor between those fivefold ministry gifts. The fivefold design for leadership is a team design, not a one-man show. So it's a team design. Every gift, all fivefold ministry gifts, should be working as one unit. There should be, an apostle in his place. There should be a prophet in his place. There should be a pastor in his place. There should be an evangelist. And there should be a teacher in that fivefold ministry gift. We've given to you why those gifts are in place. Over in Ephesians 4 and 11, you can go back, and I'm not going to go to that right now. But over in Ephesians 4 and 11, it tells why we should, why those gifts are in place for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These diverse anointings each contribute something entirely unique to the project of bringing heaven to earth, and this requires an honoring and an undemocratic attitude. An undemocratic attitude. You know, we believe that we should, most ministries believe that the deacon board should vote on it, and everybody says aye and nay. But it's an undemocratic. They put the leaders in place, and the leaders are to take charge and have supreme authority in the body of Christ. That's where God set it up, and that's where it should be operating. Once we begin to vote on things, then we get out of God's will, and the things that God want to see manifest in the earth realm is eliminated, because we're now doing it by man's way and not by God's way. This, these anointings that says you have something that I don't have, and I need what you have. You have something what I don't have, and I need what you got. So, and if we do it that way, then we can work as a team, and then we can get God's purposes manifested in the earth realm. When fivefold leaders model this kind of honor amongst themselves, then equipping the saints become a matter of extending honor by releasing every individual believer into his or her unique identity and destiny. So every believer has his own unique destiny. As God told Jeremiah over in 1, he said, I knew you before I formed you in the womb. And he said, I call you to be a prophet to the nation. So every individual believer has their destiny. God tells us over in Jeremiah 29:11, he said, for I know the thoughts that I have toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. So that's for every believer. That's not just for the fivefold ministry gifts. That's for every believer. God has a plan for us, and so he wants us to carry out those plans. And again, that's the fivefold ministry gifts help us, equip us so that we can carry out our identity and get to our destiny. Honor empowers people. What I'm doing now, we're getting into the meat of this culture of honor. Go further and further into it, we're going to find out some more things. So honor empowers people. It is time for everyone in the church to begin honoring those with fivefold anointings. And that way, again, we can look at that scripture over in Matthew 10 and 41. And I always like to use that as a principal scripture. Matthew 10 and 41, the word of God says that he that receive a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. So we can put any one of those fivefold ministry gifts in that place. We can put an apostle in there. We can put a pastor in there. We can put an evangelist in there. We can put a teacher in there. And if we receive them as such, then whatever anointing God has put on their lives, it can be imparted to your life when you receive them as such. He said, even a righteous man, he said, he that receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward. So if we receive you as righteous, you know you're righteous because of what you, not because of what you did, but what Jesus did for you. And 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 tells you that. It goes on to say, apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors and evangelists must honor each other and receive each other with their right names. So if God says someone is an apostle, then every one of the fivefold ministry gifts must receive him as an apostle. If he says he's a pastor, then the same thing should happen right on down the line through each one of these gifts. Remember what, as we've been studying these fivefold ministry gifts, the first two, the apostles and the prophets, are the ones who are seeking, finding out what heaven wants here on the earth. So they are the ones who spend most of their time in prayer and in ministering other words, seeking heaven, finding out what heaven wants on the earth. So they are the, that's how God set it up from the beginning. If you go back and look at the scripture over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, and he's saying God has set some in the church. He said first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and then when the government is in its place, then we begin to see those gifts of healings and miracles, signs, and wonders. So if everything is in its place, then we can begin to see the supernatural. This apostolic government, the apostolic anointing, and everywhere I see where it's operating, there's always signs and wonders and miracles operating in the kingdom. We are in a supernatural kingdom, and so then if we are in supernatural kingdom, then we should be seeing the supernatural in full effect if we are operating according to the way God set it up. As we do these things that are out of joint, those things that are out of joint, will be rightfully placed and hooked up to the flow of the funnel. So what am I saying? It's like if everybody have seen a funnel, some form of funnel. And what God does, he pours his anointings, he pours his his power, and everything. It's like, you know, through this funnel, and it flows down through the funnel, and it flows down from the head. And if the apostle is the head, then the apostle is receiving first, and then the prophet, as they did in when he was pouring oil, when Moses poured oil on Aaron's head, he poured it down from the head, and it flowed down from his head, always flows from the head, down to the shoulders, through his garments, down to the bottom part, and then on to every individual believer. So if the apostle is seeking heaven, finding out what heaven wants, and then he should get it first, and the prophet should also, he's speaking for God, he's telling what God wants here, and he's expounding on what heaven wants. And so we who are in believers in this fivefold ministry gifts, we should be receiving those things, and then we act, receive those individuals as God has called them. And then again, whatever's on their lives, Whatever's on the apostle's life, should be imparted to us. Whatever's on the prophet's life can be imparted to us, but we still have to receive it as such. In the Western culture, honor has fallen on hard times in our culture. I say the Western society, I'm talking about the West, United States, Canada, everything that's on this side used to be the communist bloc, so we call it the Western culture. And because of, if you look in the body of Christ, I mean, we all can see it, it's obvious that the pastor is in most churches is in the headship. In most ministries in the body of Christ, in the Western culture, either the pastor's in place, he's in charge, or the evangelist in place, or the teacher. So and there's not so much known about the apostles. And that's why God is right now restoring. He's restoring back in its original position as it was then when they began in the book of Acts. We read that scripture in Acts 2:42, where it said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And then that's when those signs and wonders and miracles took place in the body of Christ. So if you continue in that doctrine, then what it started out, how it started out, then that's how it should continue. It should go along that line. And so we should continue to see those things taking place in the body of Christ. In our culture, independence is worship. So everybody's standing on their own. Every pastor, this is his church, the whole body of Christ, whole church should be Jesus' church. And if it's his church, he said, he told us over in Matthew, he said, upon this rock, he was telling Peter, upon this rock I shall build my church. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so it's his church, but we've gotten so that we call them my churches. The pastor becomes the owner of the church. And since he's the owner of the church, then we come to church. We fulfill our duties on a Sunday morning. And most time we leave church from between 11 and 1 o'clock, and we go back home, and the same thing we came to church with, we leave and take it back home with us. If we are oppressed by the enemy, we go back home, we're still oppressed by the enemy. When we come to church, we should receive our word from God. If everything is in its place, and God give us a word for our life situations, then we should be differently when we leave church. We should have gotten our answer. If we come anticipating, expecting our answer from God, then when we leave that service that morning, our answer should have come through the man of God who God has put in place over us, or who he put us under him. And so if we receive him as our man of God, and like the scriptures say, Matthew 10:41, it pops up again. If we receive him as such, then whatever comes out of his mouth is from God. It's coming from heaven. If we're honoring him in what God has called him to do. And so if he give us a word, then that becomes our word for that situation. That could be 2,500 people in the congregation. If everybody come into the congregation with a problem, with a situation in their life, then if they're listening and expecting an answer from God, that man, no matter what message he's teaching, your answer should be in that man of God's mouth. So when he finished speaking, when you walk out of that congregation, you should have your answer for your situation. And that's where God set it up. And since he set it up, you can always guarantee that you will receive your answer. If you've been praying for something, you're going to get your answer. We focus on private relationships with God and have a hard time recognizing spiritual authority and considering others as more important than ourselves. So what we do, we have an individual a relationship with God. Right? And many times what we do, we speak to believers and you tell them how God set up spiritual authority. And many times we as believers, I can speak for myself, we as believers will say that, I can hear God for myself. But God said, if I'd have set it up that way, we can hear him. We can hear him through the Holy Spirit. But most times the way he set it up from the beginning, over in Genesis, when the people told Moses, we don't want God to speak to us. We want you to go hear from God for us, then come back and tell us what God said, and then we're going to do what he say do. And that's, so back during that time, when he set it up, that's the way they began to do it. So then God set it up that way, and we began to hear. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit, so he can speak to us and speak to us through. So, and turn to Romans chapter 8. And so when we get our word from God, through the man of God, and then we should have a witness in our spirit that is the word that we are seeking. That's the answer that we are seeking from God for our particular situation. And so, again, here's a principle that God gave to us. And it's in Romans chapter 8, looking at verse 16. And like I say, as we read scripture, that's why the word of God tells us it's for us who are in the kingdom to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And Jesus always taught, when he taught, he always taught in parables. And so many times we have to go in and dig out and study what God is saying. That's why, in Timothy, our Apostle Paul told Timothy that he had to study. He had to study to show himself approving to God, a rightly dividing the word of truth. And so, and that he, workman not be ashamed, he can prove to God that he's studying and finding out what God says. Here in Romans chapter 8, looking at verse 16, and what it's saying here, it says the Spirit himself, it says itself, but it's because of the interpreters put itself, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And so there's a principle there. What happens is, as we read this principle, it says the Holy Spirit himself bears witness with my spirit that the word I got from my man of God on that Sunday morning is the word that I received for my particular life situation. He's bearing witness. I heard the word. It agreed with my spirit. And since it agreed with my spirit, then he bear witness with me that's my answer. And so all I have to do now is believe that word and follow that word. And one of the things that the word of God says, I can take that word now and I can guarantee that it's going to work in my life. I can meditate it. He told Joshua in 1:8, he said, this word of book of the law should not depart out of your mouth, or out of your eyes, but you should meditate in it day and night. And then you make your way prosperous and you have good success. So when you hear your word, you don't just let it sit on the side. That becomes your word for your situation. So now I got to take this word and I got to meditate it. I got to make it work, step into it, walk into what the thing that God has given me my answer for. I can't sit back and be passive in it. Word of God says that since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven says suffered violence, but the violence have to take it by force. That means if I'm continually bringing the word, bringing it up, meditating it, then that which God say, if I get my word, then every word that God give me. Again, turn to John, and these some basic scriptures. You heard them, John chapter 6. Looking at verse 63. John 6:63, a basic scripture that we hear, but we have to get a revelation of that particular passage of scripture. Here in John 6:63, it says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. It says, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That means that God is saying, telling us, Jesus is telling us that when he give us a word for our particular situation, there's enough power in that word itself to bring whatever he told you, bring it to pass in your life. If sickness, if the enemy has come up on you and put sickness on your body and you come in and you hear your word from God, then you can guarantee that word that you received from your man of God is the answer for your situation. I know when I first came here, I had asked God to be in His perfect will. Came to Word Life Christian Center. The Word of God came to me, and I walked into the sanctuary. God said, "This is where I want you, because this is where I have some work for you to do." I had no idea. I looked around to see how God was speaking. It was almost like an audible voice. And when he said those words to me, I was already in a ministry. My wife was in a ministry, and as soon as I heard it, within 3 days, I made a decision, because God said, "This is where I want you. I got some work for you here." The congregation, the ministry is full of people. And my first question to God was, how is it, you got work for me to do with all these people here? That's the first thing that comes up to me. With all these people here, how you got work for me to do? He said, "What am I telling you?" My great revelation was at the time, from hearing ministers preach, is if you be willing and obedient, you should eat the good of the land. So, that came up in my spirit. And so as soon as he told me, I made a decision. I told my wife, she said, "The Spirit of God spoke with you?" I said, "Yeah, He spoke with me." And when He spoke with me, she said, "What you gonna do?" I said, "Well, I'm gonna be obedient." And so from Sunday to Wednesday, we sit down, we wrote a letter. We had to leave, we was in good standing with the minister that was in. We sit down, we wrote our pastor a letter telling him that God has asked us to move on. He has some other things for us to do. And so I did, like we said, we wrote him a letter. And then that next Sunday, when our man of God called for membership, I grabbed my wife and my three kids, and I couldn't wait for that part to come out. And I ran to the front with my wife and three kids. And so I just got in and went to work, because I had no idea what He had for me to do. But I know that that's what He told me He had work for me to do. So I connected. I did like you all doing. I came in. I trained in the school of ministry. I finished that up in the 2 years. But when God call a man or call an individual, He just doesn't call you. He calls everybody who's attached to you, to that ministry. Everybody, your family, your whole family becomes part of that ministry that God has called you into. And I know that for a fact, because I'm a witness to that. My wife works here as in the full-time ministry. My daughter works here, full-time ministry. My son-in-law works here, full-time ministry. And myself, I teach in the school of ministry. That's part of the work. I teach Sunday mornings at new members class every Sunday morning. They put me over the altar department. I just came in and went to work, because this guy said, I had no idea what He had for me to do, but this, he called me, and this is what He said He wanted to do. So what I did, I was obedient to the call. And when He called me, it's not about what I want to do, it's what God has for me to do. So I just came in. I was just willing and obedient. So I connected to the man of God. So now, I said that so that I could tell you, whenever I walked into the ministry, whatever that came out of that man of God's mouth, it was my word for my situation. I always thought when I came to the ministry that the man of God was always preaching to me, always talking to me. He was always everything I always wanted. I could always get my word from coming out of His mouth. And I could go back and I could deal with any situation that came up in my life, because I always got my word. And I would tell people, were you in eavesdropping on what the Lord was saying to me today? That's why I felt about it, because every time He spoke, He was always relating to a situation. And that was almost 18, almost 20 years ago. And it's still happening. Every time I come into the sanctuary, I expect to hear from God. Not I can hear Him for myself, but I expect to get a word from my man of God that coming out of His mouth. And that's that expectancy, and that's part of that supernatural kingdom that we are in. And so let me give you some more pointers here. We focus on private relationships with God and have a hard time recognizing spiritual authority and considering others as more important than ourselves. Jesus gave us an example. He gave us two examples of that. He said our spiritual authority is more important than your individual things that you think that is important. Turn over to Matthew chapter 16 with me, and we're going to see how Jesus handled spiritual authority. I'm going to show you two examples here. I'm in the wrong book. Over in Matthew chapter 16, I'll start reading here and let me do this. Let me read from verse 17, and I'll read down through what answer I want to get to. Here in Matthew chapter 16, it states, and Simon Peter, that's when Jesus came in, and he asked, who did people say he was? And they say, some say the prophet, some say he was Isaiah, some say, gave him name. And so then he asks in verse 15, he said unto them, but whom say you that I am? Whom say you I am? And I'm going to show you a lesson in spiritual authority here. He said, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered unto him and said, he said, blessed thou thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. He said, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. That same Peter who had just got a revelation of who he was. And I'm talking about spiritual authority here, who not what you want, but what God himself want. He said, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him and saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This should not be unto thee. He was thinking about himself. He had Jesus with him. He was walking with him. He was seeing signs and wonders. And Jesus told him what he had to do to fulfill and do the will of God. And so, and then what Peter says here, then he says, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, that's Jesus, he said, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. And so many times when it comes to things that we want to see happen, we forget about what God wants to happen in the earth realm through us. And so if it seems popular to men, then we want to do what men want us to do rather than what God wants us to do. So Jesus was telling me, he said, I got to come here. I got to go by way of the cross. And Peter said, no, you can't leave. You can't die that way. And so what he was telling me was, he said, no, I have to do the will of God. It's better for me to do the will of God than to try to do what man wants me to do. I become popular in the eyesight of men. And many, many times we who are in the body of Christ, we are doing not what God wants us to do, but we are doing what is popular in the eyesight of man. And since we're doing that pop what's popular in the eyesight of man, we're missing on out on what God wants here in the earth, and we're missing out on the kingdom. We're missing out on our signs. We're missing out on our miracles. We're missing out on our peace, our right to have joy. We're missing out on it. Why? Because we're doing what is popular in the sight of men rather than what is in the sight of God. Let me show you one more, and I'm talking about spiritual authority here, considering others as more important than ourselves. Turn to Matthew chapter 21, and we're going to see one more. And I begin reading at verse 12. Here in 21 and 12, it says, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves." And you'll hear our apostle say, you know, we don't come here. We come, this is a house of prayer. We don't sell anything on the grounds of this ministry. We don't sell insurance. We don't sell Girl Scout cookies. We don't sell Amway, anything, because this is the house of God. And so, and people sometimes look at it, it's popular in the sight of people. They figure since a lot of people are there, then I can go here and I can, you know, sell my goods here and make my profits. But God said, he said, nothing is sold in this congregation. You know, I thought it was strange because, you know, in my traditional churches where I came from, you know, they sold suppers on Friday and Saturday nights, you know, to earn their tithes and whatever they use that for. Let me read on through this chapter. It says, "And said unto them, it is written," at verse 12, verse 13, he said, "And said unto them, it is written, my house should be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." What they was doing, it was a money changer. They was taking money so they could buy their offerings to bring to the altar in the house of God. God said, Jesus said, no, this, he came in and, you know, I can see him. He got a holy indignation. They had the table over there and these people sitting there with their goods and their wear. He just walked in and just boom, kicked the whole table over. You know, and that, this is Jesus, you know, peaceful Jesus come in and knock that whole table over. And so all the money changes. And he said, and then watch what he says after it. He said, "And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them." Why? Because he knew. He said that, you know, I'm in authority, and it's spiritual authority. It's not what man wants to happen here, but because they was doing what God wanted them to do, then the supernatural took place and began to operate in the place that he said, my house, God's house, is going to be called a house of prayer. And so, you know, I like to say, in the eyesight of man, it may have been popular, but when it comes to spiritual authority should always overrule any other authority. So he said in verse 14, he said, "And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests, in the eyesight of men, the men's came, and saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were so displeased." It was displeased because he had kicked over the money changers. That's something they had. That's all a tradition. That was a tradition. They had always did that. But Jesus became, and he was in authority, and he took over. So, you know, anytime you try to change things that's always been going on, even though God wants these things to change so we can see our supernatural manifestation, those who have been there for a long time, where, you know, they get displeased at what the man of God is saying. And that's why it's not a democracy. In the kingdom of God is a theocracy. God put individuals in charge. And when he put that individuals in charge, he hears from heaven. And then the only thing he tells us is what God wants for that particular situation. And then when he does what God tell him to do, then again, God say, that's my will. That's what I want to happen. And then the supernatural begin to operate the way it sets up. And so let me give you some more pointers here. The result is, if we do it that way, the result is that we are cut off from the flow of heaven. And you see what happened here when they was doing what they wanted to do, the flow of heaven was not in place. And so they was doing what they wanted to do rather than what God wanted to do. And so we always have to be under spiritual authority. When the funnel is connected and we begin to get in the flow, you will begin to see miracles, signs, and wonders. So like I said, the flow have to be in place. While I'm here, let's turn back to that our basic scripture again over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let me read it to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, it said, "Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles." I mean, the government is in place. We are here, we are under an apostolic government. At Word Life Christian Center, we're on the apostolic government. LTMA, we're on the apostolic government. Ever Increasing Word Training Center, we are under apostolic government. That means that we should expect, without a doubt, to see signs and wonders and miracles operating in your life. It should happen. If it's not happening, then why? We need to go and repent. Because we are not believing. As God said, God told us. He said, you know, go back and look at Numbers 23 and 19. And what the word of God said? God said, God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he himself is responsible for making it good. So if it's not being made good, we can't look at God for it. Because we know that it's not, you know, it's not God that's doing it. Is we who ourselves are doing it. Let me give you these two scriptures and let's look at them and get ourselves lined up accurately. Turn to Numbers 23. Look at that 19. Like I said, what did God say? "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God." In Numbers 23:19, the word of God tells us here, he says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" So if God said, if I said it, if you receive it, then he said, I'm responsible for making it good. Well, one more scripture while we're there. "By two or three witnesses, let every word be established." Isaiah chapter 53. And see it again. The same scripture. Isaiah chapter 55, looking at verse 11, I could go through from top to bottom, but I'm just going to read the one scripture. Verse 11, the word of God tells us here, the same thing that 23:19 says. He said, God says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth." So now, if the apostle is seeking heaven and finding out what heaven wants, and he's speaking for God, then whatever comes out of that apostle's mouth or that prophet's mouth is coming from God. So it's coming out of God's mouth. I mean, that's the way we have to see it. That's the way God set it up. And God says, he says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." And so if we're sitting in the congregation, we're part of those things that he sent it to. Yeah, so if his word, if it's coming out of his mouth and it's for my particular situation, the word of God tells me that it's not going to return to him void, but it's going to accomplish what he said was going to accomplish. If he says that, I am healed, if I come in and I have sickness in my body, and the word of God come out of the man of God's mouth that I'm healed, then that word is coming from God's mouth, and so I have to receive it as such. And when I receive it as such, that's that supernatural manifestation that God has sent to me through his man of God, through his apostle, whether it's his teacher, whether it's his evangelist, whether it's his prophet, if it's coming out of his mouth, if it's coming out of the man of God's mouth. Because God's not going to come and stand up in that congregation while we are there and say, you are healed. He's not going to say that. He's not going to do that. It's going to come right through that man of God, that apostle's mouth. And he's going to tell you exactly what he wants you to hear through the man of God. And that's why, again, he said that he that receive it, Matthew 10:41, he that receive it, a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's word. That's whatever's coming out of his mouth, whatever he's saying from God, then I should receive it that way. And when I receive it that way, then I can reap the benefits of that. Isaiah 53:55-11, we'll just make that our meditation scripture for this particular class. It's a good verse to meditate on and think about for a while. And that way we know that that God's word, he said, it ain't return to him void. He said, let me give you a little bit more. A little more pointers here. The remarkable growth that we shall see at Word Life Christian Center, at Ever Increasing Word Training Center, at LTMA, and any ministry that's connected to this ministry. You know, there are many ministries now. There's about 80 some different ministries. There's over 100 and some ministers that's attached to LTMA. So if they are connected properly to that apostolic anointing, then whatever is on that apostle's life, they're receiving him, that's honoring him, then that should also happen in their lives, in their ministry, wherever they're from, whether they're from the East Coast or the West Coast. They're under this umbrella. They're under funnel. Of what God is doing in the earth realm. So when God pour out his spirit and his power upon that apostle and they receive it that way, then the same, when they go back, that impartation has taken place, and then they go back and carry it out. Again, we have to believe and receive. And so if it's not manifesting our lives, we are being taught about our souls, and it's awesome the way God is showing us what's happening while we're missing out on our blessings, how we're missing out on our miracles, how we're missing out on our signs, because our soul is not connected to our spirits. And so sometimes the Spirit of God give you analogies and he give you illustrations how this thing worked. And man of God has been telling us that we're a tri-type being. And so last Wednesday night, the apostle was ministering, and the Spirit of God said, you know, he was telling us about we're a tri-type being, and if your soul is not connected properly to your spirit, then there's a blockage that takes place. And if, you know, we who are men, we know a little bit about vehicles. And so what if we got a vehicle and we got spark plugs in it, and we got distributor caps in it, and if all those things are not in line, if not working properly, then you can do all the try to start you want to. If it's not lined up properly, that vehicle is not going to start. A fuel pump, you know, all those are part of, that's a natural. Jesus used to taught in parables. He would take a natural thing to show us what a spiritual thing was. And so the Holy Spirit, while he was ministering, he showed me that vehicle. He said, no matter what you do, if that scribble cap and the timing is not right, you can turn that engine over all day long and it will never start up. He said, in the kingdom of God, if your spirit and your soul is not connected up properly, and then those supernatural signs and wonders that we are expecting to see from God is not going to happen because our soul is not connected. Our man of God is telling us our soul, our spirit is perfect. Everything that God has for us is already in our spirit, but it's our soul that's keeping us from receiving and operating in the supernatural. And so then if it's our soul, then it's up to us to get that in corrected. And so, you know, like I said, you know, myself, I had to go back. I had to go and repent, you know, because, you know, and it apparently is in my unbelief. You know, one of the things that Jesus always says is you know, only believe. And so if you only believe, then those manifestations, every scripture, every God said, every promise in this word is yea and amen to them that believe it. And so if it's yea and amen, then everything in this Bible, when I see it in the Bible, I should be able to manifest it in my life. And so let me give you this point one more time. The remarkable growth at Word of Life Christian Center, LTMA, Ever-Increasing Word Training Center, anyone who's connected to this ministry will experience their experiences. Word of Life will experience, will be a testimony to the remarkable difference people will be seeing in an environment where the funnel is connected and people are getting in on the flow. And so if we are connected properly, then, you know, we are, you know, probably everyone in here can, you know, since we went to the apostolic, can see some supernatural things that are taking place in your life. You know, if you happen, then just keep expecting. You know, just keep expecting. It's going to happen to you because, like, again, God said, "My word, I ain't gonna turn it. It's not going to return to you void, but it's going to prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." And so then right while I got you there, turn to Romans. Right, we meditated this scripture, so we're going to show it again. Chapter 5, verse 17. Romans 5:17, it says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive." But you know, and in order for us to receive it, we first have to believe it, and so if we don't believe, then we can't receive it. So that therefore that believes. So that's that supernatural functioning again that has to happen in your life. You have to believe it in order to receive. So, you know, you believe it, only believe, and then you receive. He said, "They that much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." So every one of us as believers, we came into the kingdom as believers. And when we came in by making that confession, and then we should be, as individuals, we've been told every week that we, as Christians, we are the most powerful beings on the face of the earth. And so we have to begin to expect that. And we have to begin to reign in life. Not after we leave here, in this life, here on earth, we should be reigning. We, you know, whatever comes up in your life, we should be able to eliminate it because of what the Word of God has said to us about those situations. When sickness and disease come up on your life, we already know. You know, we've received Jesus. And he said, I mean, in his word, he said that he was wounded. He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with his stripes, I am healed. That's a done deal. So if I don't believe that, then I can't receive that. So I have to go in and I find the Word of God. And what I have to do, I have to keep putting that Word on that situation. I can't just stop. James told us, we heard yesterday, that we just can't be hearers of the Word is what we're doing. We're just hearing the Word. We're hearing it, but we're not doers of the Word. When we hear the Word and don't do it, we're like a natural man that forget what type of man he really is. And I, in one of my classes, I said, when we look into the Word, it's like looking into the mirror. It's telling us what we need adjusting. Every time we look into the Word, we need some adjustment in our lives. And so we take the Word of God and we make that adjustment. And then again, maybe a small adjustment, but we make that adjustment. And we have to. God has given point out too much to us here that we have to operate in the supernatural. That God said, the supernatural is God's advertisement for the kingdom of God. It's his way of showing who he really is. That's what Jesus was doing when he walked earth. He was showing who God is. And through us as individuals, we have to advertise for God. I shall give you power after the Holy Ghost. Acts 1 and 8, that you may be a witness of who God is, how great God is, how good God is. And, he sent Jesus that we could be advertising for the kingdom of God. Amen. It says, let me give you a couple more points. I think I'm going to finish up this lesson. And next week we go into, I think we got an exam next week. Yeah, we got an exam next week. So the following week, it says, like Moses pouring all over Aaron's head, God is continuously pouring life, joy, health, peace, and all other blessings of heaven into his funnel, into what God said. God said, I set up this apostolic government, and I'm constantly, always pouring it through. And so all we have to do is receive those things that he's pouring out through the man of God. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we give you glory, Father God. We thank you, Father, that I have a minister to your people, what you told me to tell them. I thank you, Father, they are no longer just hearers of your word. They have become doers of what you say. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. The exam, again, like I always do, will be on the previous quizzes. You go in and you print the quizzes out. You already got the answers to the quizzes. There's no reason that anybody should make less than 100 on any quiz of mine. Someone called me and asked me, why did they fail the exam? I said, because you didn't study.